here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up eating rice.
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Now, if you shoot a little flimsy bitch, you got a problem.
Mr. Coxman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Man, am I? I'm tired, man. I'm telling you, people have been noticing it. Got no bags under my eyes, but I do have crow's feet. I am getting older, coming close to another year. I don't even know how old I am. But that happens because, as you know, you're not a little kid. Nobody's asking you how old you are all the time, right? So when you're a little kid, you're like, how old are you, Johnny? I'm 4. I'm, Billy, how old are you?
I'm 5 and a half. I'm five and a half.
So you know all the time, man, how old you are because everybody's asking because, you know, they have nothing else to say to a little kid, right? When you get to be like 43, nobody's asking your age unless you're like, you know, I suppose if you're like trying to get a job, although I don't think they can ask your age, can they? I don't know. That's what I need to do soon, though. And then you can remember your age more, and I don't. But all I know is I'm still kicking. I'm still the same weight for the last like 25 years, 192. And this is despite my love of Hostess products, my love of Danishes, my love of donuts, my love of burgers. What else do I love? Bad women, nasty girls. That's about it. Baseball, all the sports except NASCAR, maybe men's gymnastics, but I do like women's... I'm told here to quit talking. But let's get to what we're really talking about here. It's like, I got a lot of things to do, man. I got like so many races to cover. Now I have to be the unpaid editor for the San Francisco Chronicle. There's been two stories in the assembly races in the 16th District, which is around Walnut Creek, Tri-Valley. That's Catherine Baker, the lone species of Republicans in the from here. And then in the 15th Assembly District, that's the Buffy Wicks and Jovanka Beckles, which is the currently on the Democratic side, the lone species of African-American representation in that house from here. So two stories, like, do I have to be the editor for them now too? One, there's a story in 16th District, which is like, well, they love those moderates. And you know what Steve Tavares, angry Steve or happy Steve, calls a moderate somebody doesn't believe in anything. And but the Chronicle and these other newspapers, these moderate, business friendly, they like to talk about the moderates as, you know, is they're high minded. They're high minded because they believe in, you know, working with each other. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. It's like their idea of journalism, like that's 50-50 down the middle, right? As if you covered World War II as giving equal time to Hitler's side of the argument, right? Because it doesn't exist. It never exists in the history of journalism, but only in the minds of mainstream media in the United States only. No other country. Europe, they don't believe that. But the Chronicle, because they're trying to hide behind that, because they love those business-friendly moderates, moderate to conservatives, the Eric Swalwells of the world, and they loathe progressives. So it's no surprise that over there, you have Catherine Baker. And so it goes, the story keeps going about how, wow, oh, the tagline is like, oh, she's pro-choice and, you know, death penalty, gun control. She does shade that way. But you know what makes her a Republican? She believes in low taxes, no taxes, and little government. Kind of the big thing why you're a Republican. So I don't know what this questioning is, because it looks like this pandering. I thought you're not supposed to do that, mainstream media. But what was worse is in the 15th district. I mean, this Hillary person, and she wants to call herself Obama person. This is a person who ran the campaign to stop the darling of progressives in the East Bay and everywhere, Bernie Sanders. She ran the California campaign for Hillary Clinton 2 years ago. But she didn't talk about Hillary because nobody likes Hillary. She only talks about Obama. I love me some old Barack Obama. What a quote. But this story in the Chronicle, it's the same vein where, oh, they agree on everything. And let me tell you, that is a common trope in these dem-on-dem post-top two primaries and general elections. Because that is actually, in the past, is almost entirely true. There are two Democrats, they're usually progressive, and they believe the same thing, and their only thing that's different is their DNA. That's it. Maybe one likes ice cream, maybe one likes yogurt. Maybe one likes ice cream, maybe one loves sorbets. It's sorbets versus ice cream. And that's most of the time. But this isn't. They do not agree on everything. And what they don't agree on is like the biggest thing in the whole election. This is the most blue district in the assembly. Charter school. Beckles is against it vehemently. Buffy Wicks, you know, she's cool with it. But the millions coming from charter school people for independent expenditures say different. So it's kind of a charade. She's for it. Like Jovanka Beckles says, and this is true, they know what they're getting. And that's how it happens. And as I tweeted the other day, all these expenditure committees, every time, 100% across the board, at least the ones I've seen around in my time here, almost 9 years, they know what's going on. They coordinate. It's illegal to coordinate. They coordinate. How hard is it not to coordinate? You get an intermediary, as I said before on another podcast, and they do the work. So basically, there's four of those kind of people in this area. So you got to figure out which is the one that they're using, right? I ain't naming names, but there's about four, and they do the work. They do the dirty work. The stupid thing is with like Pamela Price, when the George Soros IE uses the same picture they were using, you know, it's like the best picture of her that I've ever seen. So it's memorable. And then it shows up with George Soros. We know what's going on. Come on. It's the biggest lie there is. But that is like the biggest difference. So I don't know what's going on. This is my fear. If you've followed me for a long time, you know, mostly on Twitter, you know I have a super dislike for the East Bay Times and whatever they're called. Like I don't like them at all. I've never read that paper. I think it's just the worst. And actually, I don't even like touching the paper. I don't even like looking at, like reading some, because it actually personally, literally affects me. Like I'm like a very in tune and like with like osmosis. And if I read that, that bad morale that's in that newsroom and bad writing unknowledgeable reporting, it just like it will invade my psyche, and then all of a sudden that's going to come out of mine. So I like inoculate myself. I literally do. I'm not even joking about that. It's like you want to mess me up, like throw a stack of East Bay Times on me, and I'm like, medic. But but the Chronicle has seemed to. I buy the Chronicle sometimes, not lately though. So I sense something's up there. I think they're going to go down next. Because I just noticed there's a lack of, I think it started when, like, are they have Pulitzer Prize envy? The East Bay Times won it just because, you know, won it for the ghost ship. And like, how did that happen? Like, that's what, about the state, the worst paper won the Pulitzer now? That's how you, oh my God. I think they have envy. And it's like, you have these fires up north and it's like, Damn, everything's about these fires every day. It seemed like they put their everything, all their energy into them. I'm like, really? Is that, it is a story at first, but is that even close to us? Is that even, they can't even send anybody to care like one day about the East Bay, which is their backyard. Yet they're going crazy. These stories, like after a while, do you care about that? The fires up there, sad story, but every day it's like, this is the Oroville Chronicle. Like, damn, have you been to Oroville? Son of a bitch. So I'm a little bit worried because there's no Chronicle. Everything goes to hell because everybody knows your TV news, your local KTVU. All they do is read the Chronicle, especially in the morning. They're just reading the Chronicle, basically. They're not doing any reporting. They don't do anything. So if there's no Chronicle, what the hell's going to go down? You know what I say about that? That's their problem. There's other sources out there, maybe only one, but you know who Uncle Steve cares about? You. And not the businessman, not the politicians. But I do care about my hostess. I care about my burgers. I care about my donuts. I care about my baseball. All my sports, except men's gymnastics and NASCAR. And I love those nasty girls. Steve Tavares is angry podcast and tired podcast. We'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm back in San Leandro, and I'm with the first mayor that's been on the new podcast, but she's also been on the old East Bay Citizen podcast. Welcome back, San Leandro Mayor Pauline Russo Cutter.
Yep, there you go.
I got the whole name in there.
You know, the Russo part is for my dad, because my dad just had four girls. And he was real bummed because his brother, all the two brothers had boys, and their Russo name was going to continue. I was the last hope. I was supposed to be a boy. Didn't turn out right. So yeah. I said, Dad, you know, I'll put Russo in my middle name. And there you have it. That's the story.
Oh, that's so. Yeah, I do make sure in a story, first time, to put the whole name.
Okay.
And then, you know, you become Cutter.
Yeah, and pretty soon everybody calls me Paul because I was supposed to be a boy. So,
is that what happened?
Yeah.
You were supposed to be Paul. We're going to name this boy Paul.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
we'll add something to it because she's a girl.
Well, that's pretty good. That was easy. That's an easy switch on the fly. So, but the last time you were on, you got everybody. It was like around, that was a couple years ago, on the old podcast. You you got everybody in like A's and Raider Town all excited because it was around April Fool's, and you were like, where did that come from? You were like, I was like, when we were recording, I was like, what is she doing? What is she talking about? The A's are going to, was it A's or the Raiders are going to build a stadium in San Leandro? That was your prank, right?
Right. Well, I think I even surprised you at one point. You were trying to like scramble for a question because then finally you just started laughing and gave it up. No, it's fun to be able to be lighthearted every once in a while. You talk about such serious things that every once in a while you get to just be yourself.
Yeah. So on the way here, I was driving a man, elderly man with a cane. He was crossing the street over here by the Sizzler, which I love.
Right, right.
And you know, that was not a crosswalk, but everybody stopped. It was no problem. And then I saw another kindness. And so that's your thing. That's unofficial though, right? Unofficial motto of San Leandro is city of kindness.
Right.
So I want to know why. Is this percolating down? Because normally everywhere else would be honking at that guy, even if he was, you know, with a cane.
You know, I really do think, especially given the politics of the nation right now,
right.
Kindness is something it's always been important to me. But just putting a name on it in the last 4 years is really important. And that's what I did when I came back from one of the conferences I went where Lady Gaga was on the stage with the Dalai Lama. After they got through the Dalai Lama being amazed at the rips in her jeans, which were fashionable, but he said, you know, how successful are you? You can't even afford a pair of jeans, you know. So we got through all that. But he talked about kindness, and he mentioned that one of the mayors gave him a token, and it just really made me think that if I want to embody this, I need to put a name on it, and I need to sell it. And so I came back, and I said, we are a city where kindness matters. And so ever since then, I the city said, well, you know, that's not our motto. I said, okay, I'm making my own card. So I got my own cards made, and I put a city where kindness matters on the back. And then now I'm hearing our police chief say it. I'm hearing other council members say it.
Yeah.
And it is percolating through the city.
Yeah.
Well, you're up for re-election.
Yep, I am.
In a couple of weeks.
Yep. Counting the days, 20 days left.
You have three opponents in a ranked choice. So as, in general, has there been kindness in this campaign?
You know, I think so. Unless something big blockbuster is coming out that I don't know about.
Oh,
you know,
I don't know.
The mailers.
I don't think so.
But I think things are moving right along in our debates and everything like that. Everybody's, you know, treating people with respect. It's clear that we have some main issues that are different for each candidate, but generally, we are all on this universe, except for one, maybe. But he's, you know, I mean, and Dan, you just have to say, he's a free spirit, but he's got a really spiritual part in his heart.
He does.
And so generally, you know, he has different ways of thinking about things. His box is a little, of thinking outside the box, his box is a little bigger than the rest of ours, I think. But yeah. I really think that we've all got along and we're doing what we can to help each other in that we want San Leandro to be a good place.
What do you think about, this wasn't one of my questions, but then you bring it up. What do you think about his idea to, like, we'll wipe out unfunded liabilities and have an extra, you know, a little like $200 million over by putting a bond and cost everybody $111 for 40 years. Does
right.
that
well, first of
make
all,
sense to you?
A bond, you can't do it with a bond. A bond, you can do actual capital improvements, and that's not it. So you do it with a parcel tax. And I just don't get a feeling that people would be willing to pay a high chunk of their money directly for somebody else's pensions. Everyone knows that that's part of our budget, but you have to sell the parts that are important and know what you're keeping, because generally your expenses are your expenses, and so somehow you're going to have to pay them. And so you want to bring the community in on the conversation of what's more important to you and so forth, and then you decide what you're going to do with your bond. I don't think we're at the point of doing a parcel tax right now for that specific reason, but I do want to look at the firefighters. They're talking about adding a person to their trucks and the validity of that. You know, we're always looking at our police, whether they need to increase the numbers that they have. And so there is some, in the future, we're going to be talking about that, definitely with the community. And then other things like, you know, library hours. Do we want to add a new library? What do we want to do in parks and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, I think most like economists, when it comes to pensions, will tell you that you don't have to really. There's not total benefit to just wipe out if you could
no.
wipe out the unfunded.
And you couldn't really.
You can if you have it at a regular. You know, I'm not sure what it is. Maybe 60-70%.
Well, right now
you're okay.
Like last year, it was up to $158 million. We went to bed one night, we woke up the next night, and it was 205. And what happens is, it's when, you know, the PERS board decides to change the interest rate. Because all along they're saying, okay, you're going to get this much return on your money, add all that together, and you've got what you need to fund your, you know, obligation. Well, they're saying, well, whoops, we didn't get the 7.5 we thought we would, we only got 2 or 3. And then we're going to bring it down to 7.25, so that means cities pay more. And that's what it's all about. It's not about we've misspent our money and we've added to our debt. It has nothing to do with that. It's this projection long term, and we have ways that we are projecting long term how we're going to pay it. We are not going to be one of the cities that need to ask for outside help. We've got it covered within our city budget. But it means making some cuts.
Now, another of your opponents been talking about rent control. You're not for rent control. It didn't sound like, but you sound amenable to maybe talking if it needs to be in the future. But, you know, I don't hear too much in this race, any of the races in San Leandro, like other cities, about building new housing. Like, mm-hmm. That's like the story. So basically every city around here, the story is rent control, and then the flip side is building, like new development, building new more units. Like that's real big in Oakland, Alameda, Hayward, Fremont.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I don't hear that here. I hear about 500 units at the marina, but that's not really.
We've got probably about 1,000 actually in the pipeline and planning for about 2,000. And then if you look at the area by Bayfair and that whole TOD strategy, that would add a whole bunch more. But really the answer to housing is to build more housing. It's not to, you know, have rent control or have all these other restrictions. It's to make the supply greater. And that's something we're definitely looking at. But then that comes with the argument of not in my neighborhood or how close do you build to neighborhoods and so forth. And one of our examples is right on the corner of, you know, Estadio and or Callan and Bancroft by Bancroft Middle School. And that was something that the community really said, you know, we don't want this to be a 7-story high or a 5-story high building. We want it to be 3 stories. And it's getting to be more what's in our actual zoning code and what really the community will accept. But all along our quarters, we have chances for development, and that's what we're going to have to do.
So every year in San Leandro, it's the roads. And there's been a lot of, and everybody has trouble with the roads in Alameda County. But there's been, it seems in San Leandro that we have like a, some sort of tax that part of it's, you know, at least suggests or is for road improvement. And I don't know. Sometimes I don't see it, especially here at Zocalo, around the corner by Paradiso.
Oaks. Is horrible that horrible road? Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, you can almost sit in that.
Yep. And it's a bike route. And so fortunately for us, that is one of the roads that's going to be completely reconstructed. Yeah. I mean, this
it needs it.
Yeah, it does. And
although
people
that's my secret,
cheering,
that's
you know?
My secret Zocalo parking spot, a little further down. So what am I? Where am I going to park when I come to Zocalo?
Yeah, you know,
for
that's going to be a problem. But maybe the road will be closed and you can park all over the place. I doubt that. one of the things that is, I mean, like you have first of all the need to do all these repairs on the roads, and then as you start doing the repairs on the roads, then you have the problems that accompany that. So you know, but it's a good problem to have. We are putting like $6 million. Naturally into our roads. We used to put 1.5 million. Now we're up to 6 billion. And then with ACTC and all of that, we're adding a lot more. We're doing about $30 million in 3 to 5 years for just our roads. Because San Leandro was like second from the bottom in the East Bay. Well, not the East Bay, but Alameda County.
I used to think there was a conspiracy on East 14th or by kind of by Bayfair where there's two tire stores. And then that was the worst roads. I was like, I think this is a conspiracy, so I could have to buy new tires.
But good call on our spot. Let me tell you about that real quick. We took Rob Bonta in a van on East 14th to show him, and we hit every bump on the way down and on the way back, but I purposely did that and said, come for a ride with me and see what Caltrans, because that's a Caltrans road.
Oh, okay.
See how
okay,
you
that's
can
good to
help.
Know, because that ain't on Pauline.
Yeah, no, and so that's why, you know, said, Rob, come and see what we drive with, you know. And hopefully now it's paved. So trying to get those things, grease the wheel, if you say.
So you're thinking, I'm going to win. I'm going to get reelected. Mm-hmm. So is there anything, what do you want to do in the next 4 years? But like, maybe you can't even, it's not even possible because you need help. You need other votes. But like your number one wish list.
My number one right now is resiliency. Trying to get the city set up, not necessarily for the big earthquake or something like that. Certainly that's in it. But what we're going to look like 20 years from now. And we need to really make sure that we're prepared as a city and doing the things that we want. It includes bringing businesses in, making sure our infrastructure is where it is, and then also this smart city business, you know, the Internet of Things.
Right.
Making sure we've got sensors around the city to our everywhere from our air to our lights. All of that stuff to the water in the ground.
Well, thank you very much, San Leandro Mayor, up for re-election in a couple weeks. Pauline Russo-Cutter, thank you for coming in again. You're now a 2-time East Bay citizen. Steve is angry.
Hopefully, hopefully we'll do it. You'll, number 3.
Your red jacket is in the mail.